I'm Dave Radlauer. Welcome to Jazz Rhythm, an exploration of the lore, culture, and personalities of early jazz. This is Farewell to Humphrey Littleton. Trumpeter and bandleader Humphrey Littleton was the most popular advocate of New Orleans and traditional jazz in post-war Britain and Europe. During the 50s and 60s, he branched out into mainstream jazz and struck up a partnership with Kansas City-style trumpeter Buck Clayton. Humph was a fascinating and remarkable man with diverse interests that led him to many other pursuits, including writing books on jazz, and 4 decades as a popular BBC radio broadcaster until his recent passing in 2008. Fine Careless Love, Humphrey Littleton and his band in 1950, launching this hour of Farewell to Humphrey Littleton. We'll be hearing recordings ranging from his earliest 78s to mid-60s mainstream partnerships with Buck Clayton, and explore both his modernist experiments and remarkable tribute to Buddy Bolden. I'm Dave Radlauer, this is Jazz Rhythm, Jumping Swing, Classic Blues, and Hot Jazz, Old and New. In 1948, Littleton formed his first real band. He and his comrades were still amateurs, part-time musicians with day jobs, playing in small clubs. Their popularity spread by word of mouth. In one of his memoirs, Second Chorus, Humph offers an explanation for the popularity in England at this time of the New Orleans revival, suggesting that post-war British swing was, quote, quite abysmal, infected with a watery refinement far removed from the essence of jazz. By contrast, he said, the rough, brassy New Orleans and classic jazz style was a refreshing breeze at a time when, quote, modern jazz was in grave danger of becoming isolated from any audience except critics and musicologists. The revival reestablished jazz as a popular music, end quote. So he says this improvised and very importantly danceable music stirred up enthusiasm for amateur music making. Above all else, he said, we had fun. We played as we pleased. Now keep in mind that in 1948, traditional jazz was such a novelty in England that Littleton had to issue his first records independently on his own. But within a year or two, the enormous appeal of Humph and his Merry Men became apparent to a major British label, Parlophone, which during the next decade issued over 170 sides. Here's a set with several of Littleton's earliest 78s, issued on his own small label that he called London Jazz. All things considered, these are well recorded, fresh and passionate performances, revealing a surprisingly deep grasp of a music first conceived a quarter of a century before. I've taken these directly from the rare original 1948 London Jazz 78s. We'll hear King Oliver's Working Man Blues, and listen on this first one, the sprightly Weary Blues, for the surprise ending, worked out in advance by Humphrey Littleton and his band. Thank you. records of Humphrey Littleton and his band. His own Hop Frog, originally issued in 1950 after the major label Parlophone discovered the popularity of Humphrey Littleton and his band. And the first two were from 1948, issued on his independent London Jazz label. Weary Blues and Working Man Blues were from the original 78 RPM discs from 1948. Still to come on this farewell to Humphrey Littleton, Humph with Buck Clayton, his out-of-print tribute to Buddy Bolden, and his one hit record from 1956. This is Jazz Rhythm. I'm Dave Radlauer. Littleton was a remarkable trumpeter, bandleader, and Renaissance man who led the New Orleans and traditional jazz movement in post-war Britain before moving on to mainstream jazz and a very successful four-decade run on the BBC. As I've said, Littleton was a prolific composer of some 120 tunes. Don't Mention It is a fairly modernist creation from the 1980s that nonetheless seems to me influenced by the compositional experiments of Bix Beiderbecke in the late 1920s. Then Georgia May, his reinterpretation of Sweet Georgia Brown. Thank you. Humphrey Littleton's fine originals don't mention it, and that Georgia May was clearly his reinterpretation of Sweet Georgia Brown. Lovely examples of Humphrey Littleton's refusal to be bound by convention or stylistic limitations, which was typified in the title of one of his memoirs called I Play As I Please. Bandleader and trumpeter Littleton was the most popular musician of the New Orleans jazz revival and traditional jazz movement in Britain and Europe around 1950. Humph's diverse interests included illustration, cartooning and calligraphy, birdwatching, and writing, from several fine memoirs and books about jazz to restaurant reviews. Beginning around 1967, Littleton was heard on BBC Radio, first as a presenter of his own series on jazz, and then as host for 35 years of the satirical panel show called I'm Sorry, I Haven't a Clue, which made him even more famous than his music had. In 1986, Littleton engaged in a landmark BBC documentary on Buddy Bolden, the first jazz trumpeter in New Orleans around 1900. Using the best historical evidence, Littleton attempted to recreate the sound of Bolden and his band in one of the most audacious efforts at jazz archaeology. Now, though Bolden never recorded, his rough, loud, strutting style that launched jazz has been much written about and speculated upon. Littleton aimed at not only an approximation of Bolden's trumpet sound, but his band's instrumentation and repertory. From the resulting Littleton album, now long out of print, here are three tunes reliably thought to be in Bolden's repertory and style: My Bucket's Got a Hole in It, If You Don't Shake, and this first one reputed to be Bolden's show opener called Don't Go Away Nobody. Thank you.
come in. You're even knocking, but you can't come in. You're even knocking, but you can't come in. Blood and mule in your heart. Oh, you're even knocking, but you can't come in. You're even knocking, but you can't come in. You're even knocking, but you can't come in. Blood and mule in your heart.
A popular riff known in Buddy Bolden's turn-of-the-century New Orleans as If You Don't Shake, but still popular today. Humphrey Littleton's landmark effort for a BBC documentary of 1986, recreating the music of Buddy Bolden. This is Farewell to Humphrey Littleton, who died in the year 2008 on Jazz Rhythm. I'm Dave Redlauer. Thanks for being with me. Remember that I welcome your comments. Request for a program playlist or search for deeper understanding of early jazz at the Jazz Rhythm website, jazzhotbigstep.com. Littleton was also author of more than a dozen books and memoirs, mostly about jazz, especially his highly regarded Best of Jazz. That two-volume work of jazz history and commentary is still noted as an affectionate and incisive survey of early jazz. He was part of a small but distinguished circle of musician critics, writing from a perspective inside the music with a deep first-hand understanding of how jazz is made. I've also looked at a couple of his entertaining and very interesting memoirs, Take It From the Top and Second Chorus. Incidentally, I was thrilled when, after I requested a copy of Second Chorus through my local branch library, I received a copy that had been personally autographed. Sincerely, Humphrey Littleton. By the mid-1950s, Humph was a fairly mainstream musician, and at one point he came under the management of George Martin, who was soon to be the marketing and production genius behind the Beatles. In fact, the jangly piano line in the Beatles' hit Lady Madonna is thought to have been inspired by the Barrel House boogie piano of this next tune. Bad Penny Blues of 1956 was his one hit tune that reached the top 20 in the British singles charts for 6 weeks. However, Littleton felt that Bad Penny represented less his own intent than the studio production tricks of its nefariously creative producer, Joe Meek. Bad Penny Blues, a Humphrey Littleton record heavily juiced up by producer Joe Meek into Humph's one top 20 hit in 1956.